Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWfinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, welcome back to the show. We heard from Bill Carollo giving you the football side of things. Now, what about men's basketball? We bring in Rick Boyajis, who is the assistant commissioner of the Big Ten and the supervisor of officials for men's basketball in the Big Ten. And Rick, welcome. And I'm going to start out with this. As someone who's a former coach, what kind of perspective does that bring to your current job?
Well, I think I probably focus maybe a lot more on the actual play calling and, you know, the correct versus incorrect or no calls just as much as calls. I think a lot of the former officials that go on to supervise or coordinate officiating, you know, they learn in the beginning a lot about the mechanics of officiating, you know, positioning, just kind of the dynamics of what's now a three-man crew. It used to be a two-man crew. But I think for me, those are the things I had to learn as I made the shift from coaching into administration. So I'm much more aware now of how the officials move, what they're responsible for on the floor, you know, their positioning and things like that. But at its core, I probably focus every bit as much, if not more, on just so we get the plays right.
If there is a common yet subtle complaint in college basketball officiating, it is the number of games that certain officials, and the big-time ones are the ones everybody wants, how many games they work during the course of the week. How difficult is it for you to balance the quality of that official versus the number of games they're doing, plus the travel time and the fatigue that's figured in? How important a factor is that for you?
I mean, I'm in total agreement of basically what the, you know, the public perception is of that issue. The problem is I'm virtually powerless to do anything about it. And the reason I say that is because the referees in college basketball, as Bill may have mentioned in football, they're independent contractors versus the NBA where they're totally on salary, they're full-time employees, they have benefits, et cetera. So the only thing I can control, Steve, is the number of games I give them in the Big Ten Conference, the number of times they see individual teams, you know, on the road and at home. But it's a little bit of a fallacy that any official is a Big Ten ref or an ACC ref or a Big East ref because they all work all the leagues, especially the elite officials. So the most games I give a guy is maybe in the 25 to 35 range. And these are guys, like you said, that most of them are working 75 to 100 games, the ones that work the NCAA tournament. So it's really difficult. All I can do is space them out as I see necessary. For instance, I never try to have one official work the same team twice in a seven-day period. Now, sometimes I have a snow emergency or weather or transportation, but you know, that just gives you an idea of one little thing that I can control. I can control that. But I can't control guys that are going to work more than 60, 70, 80 games. And in that case, I have to try to weigh their credentials and their experience and how much my coaches want them, in addition to how our staff rates these guys. But again, I can only control the games that the Big Ten assign.
Give us an idea what you're looking for when you are grading guys and during the course of a season. What are certain specific areas where it's, you know, obviously getting the call right is the big one. What are some other things that you're looking for in order to allow them to make more calls and be in better position?
Well, I mean, I think there are a lot of different issues. I think it's important that the fans understand for the first time ever, we break down every single game in the Big Ten Conference. In other words, whether we have staffers on site or not grading the game, we break down every game by video. So within about 24 hours, we actually break down every single play from every single game. So not only do we grade out every whistle, every violation, every foul call, we also grade out every no call, which is really every bit as important, what we don't whistle. So what happens is we take a pretty in-depth grading sheet, and we have all these codes, and we input all this data into the computer. And basically what we try to do is we try to come up with 10 to 15 plays, and we put together a video montage within 24 hours of 15 plays. Not all bad, but we try to capture everything that we think is incorrect or questionable, and then anything that's just an interesting play. If we're going to capture good plays, we're trying to capture things that are, you know, you have to be on your toes and moving and getting angles to spot. So that gets posted, and the officials on the game get an email immediately, and they have about 2 days to watch the clips. So for the first time ever, you know, every single play in the Big Ten is being evaluated, and then all of those codes, all the legends that go in that you know, we have codes for, you know, no calls. We have 15 different no calls. No calls on a block charge, no call body, no call hand check, no call travel, no call carry. We have the same codes for fouls. We have violations. So we have all this data. It all goes into the computer. And then at any random time, I can cull all the information. We can filter it. So I can say to my video guys, hey, give me all the travel calls that we thought were correct in the last 2 weeks. Give me all the incorrect travels that were called, and give me all the incorrect no-call travels. So we're screening all this stuff. But you know, at its core, I think the main things for us are play calling, judgment, mobility, which is an issue. You know, we're going through kind of a generational change where the fans have seen the same guys reffing for 20, 25 years, and you know, they're all coming to the end of their careers. But some of them, you know, although they don't move as well, the coaches are giving them very, very high ratings because they like how they manage games, they trust them, they know what they're going to get. So it's kind of a combination of all that.
When you hire an official, or you're looking to hire an official, and you see the basic skill sets, I know in talking with Bill Carollo, Bill said that one of the things he looks for beyond skill sets is personality. How well do they work with people? How do they conduct themselves? Does that enter into your hiring process as well with these independent contractors?
Yeah, it really does. I mean, they need to have really good people skills. They need to interact with the players on the court who are of generation, and then they need to get along and manage the head coaches, you know. And, you know, the head coaches in a league like ours are high profile. It's big salaries for, you know, tremendous pressure. There's a lot of stress. So, there is a skill and an art to it. The other thing that we do, we've created a three-league consortium. So as much as I'm overseeing the Big Ten, I also have control over the Mid-American Conference and the Summit League. And Bill, he might have spoke to the football consortium. They have a number of different leagues that they're in with.
He did.
So I'm looking at young officials, and we're trying to bring them from Division III and II up into leagues like the Mid-American Conference and the Summit League. And then we're monitoring their process and the progress there. And then we're watching them through postseason events. So there's a lot of oversight and training that goes along with just regard the regular grading that happens and observation that happens. So, you know, no young ref that comes into the Big Ten is just green. I mean, they're going to have worked for years in the mid or low major level. And then I'm going to first sprinkle them into the non-conference games, which we win, you know, a high percentage of between, you know, November and New Year's. And then I start to sprinkle them in around the conference for a couple seasons. So we kind of have a whole process with bringing along, you know, young officials.
For you, now for Bill, it's Monday morning, maybe even sometimes Sunday morning. For you, it's sometimes Monday morning, too, especially with the number of Big Ten games that are played on Sundays. For you, you do have to deal with the coach that does call up, and you'll get a lot of those calls during the course of the season.
We play 5 days a week. We play Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, right. Saturday, Sunday. So there's games every night. Everything's nationally televised, either on CBS, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN Ten Network. So there are really no secrets. I'm also out. I try to get to 2 to 3 or 4 games each week in person, as does my staff. So there's a lot of communication. It's great now because we have so much video oversight. In the past, the coaches would identify a number of plays. They'd have their video guys cut them up. They'd burn a DVD or, you know, a VHS tape. They'd FedEx it to the office. You know, that would take a couple days. Myself and my predecessor, you know, might be traveling. So it could take a week to get a response. Now what happens is I just tell the coaches, look, all you got to do now is you just got to send me an email, and all you have to do is give me the game times of the plays. So if Pat Chambers sends me an email with 4 plays from last night's game, the first thing I do is I go to that script that we create, and I'll look and I'll say to Pat, hey, you know, just know all 4 of those calls were tagged, they were edited, and they're part of that video montage, and the officials are going to see them within the next 36 hours. So it's changed how we communicate with the head coaches. It's much more timely. There's more accountability now than there's ever been. And I think that's fair. As an ex-coach, I have an expectation that they should be accountable. And to be honest, their salaries have gone up dramatically over the last 2 decades, a lot because we compete against each other. You know, the Big East competes against the ACC and the SEC and the Big Ten to try to acquire the services of the best officials. So we probably haven't helped ourselves over 20 years and from the standpoint of controlling costs, and it's kind of accountability as you find in the NFL or the NBA.
Bill, when I talk with Bill Carollo, one of the things we discuss, of course, replay officials. You don't have replay officials, but I think what a lot of fans do not realize is now it's mandatory for the producer on the broadcast to meet with the officials at some point because they're going to have to get on the headsets at some point to talk with them, to develop at least a personal relationship between producer and official. Give us an idea how much that helps in the process and when they do go to a replay of speeding up what they need to do to keep the game moving.
Well, first, I think it's important that the fans understand there are certain things we can go to the monitor for and there are other things we can't, and some of it makes no sense. You know, I'll give you an example. We could go 3 times in a ball game involving Penn State where a shot is either a 2 or 3 point shot. You know, is the toe on the line? Is it not? We're going to blow the whistle instantaneously, which is different from the NBA. The NBA does it at the first media timeout, so they don't stop the game. And that's something that I've been pushing. Look at 2s and 3s. If there's a 3 point shot that's wasted at the expiration of a shot clock, and the shot clock doesn't expire simultaneously with 0s on the game clock at the end of the half of the game, we can't look at it. So to the average fan, they might say, well, how does that make sense? You go look at a 2 or a 3, that's a 1 point difference, and this guy just fired up a 3-pointer at the end of a shot clock violation or, you know, at 35 seconds, and you can't go look at that. And hopefully we rely on the caller analyst or the play-by-play announcer. So that's just one example of what we can go for. We can't go to look at goaltending plays off the backboard, for instance. So I'm pushing for more technology because we're kind of leading the country with oversight in the use of technology. So that, you know, that's a big part of it. But I think when you see them put the headset on, fans need to know. They're talking directly to the producer who is trying to get a feel for, is it a 3-point shot? Is it a timing error? You know, what are we going over there to look at? Some things we can look at by rule, other things we can't, they're queuing it up in the control room at the same time that they're queuing up commercials and looking at probably a minimum of 4 camera angles. So there's a lot going on, and sometimes that's why it may take an extra 20, 30 seconds longer than maybe it should.
But again, we're in an era, I think fans have accepted that. I mean, it's now an accepted part of the game that's why they wait for it. Idealistically, moving forward, I hand you the ability to put more technology in the game. What do you think, it's just your pure opinion now, should actually be reviewable in college basketball?
Well, for me personally, you know, I'd like to see us make that move and look at 2s and 3s during the media timeouts because we've got them at, as you know, at 16 minutes, 12 minutes, 8 minutes, and 4 minutes. Now, if we had a situation in the last 4 minutes, we just have to go instantaneously. We know we we don't know when the next break in the action would be, and we'd be out of media timeouts. I'd like to go to see the end of shot clock expirations. I'd like to see goaltending plays only off the glass. The rule in basketball with goaltending on the glass is if the ball is above the level of the rim and it comes into any contact with the backboard, it can't be touched. And I think when we look at video, we almost always know whether it is or it isn't. I think the downward flight, a shot that's on its downward flight, is really tricky, and you could spend 10 minutes over there looking at some of those.
Yeah, that's too tough.
I don't know that would be, you know, beneficial. But other than those, I'd like to go maybe for you know, even a couple out-of-bounds plays in the last 30 seconds or the last minute. I think the NBA is ahead of the college game with regard to, you know, their use of technology. They're not using it, you know, for a ton of things, but I think that last minute is so crucial. And there was one in the Celtics game last night. There was an out-of-bounds call that was changed that I thought was valuable because those involve they've involved possessions. And they're crucial to the way the game finishes.
Yeah, that was the Haslam play when they said it was out on Rondo originally, and it was off Haslam out of bounds.
Exactly. Right. And, you know, you put that in the college game, and, I mean, it's tough. A lot of times it's very difficult for the lead official. The lead official is a guy under the hoop, and sometimes you're almost too close to the play. So that ref on the baseline is looking at four hands and – sometimes officials on the outside might have a better shot at it in the way the fans kind of have a better look at some plays sometimes.
Rick, thanks so much. This was absolutely invaluable, I think, for everybody listening. It just gives them a better feel as to where everything is right now, and I think you enlightened a lot of people today. Because
Steve, I appreciate it. You know, we remember to do this a couple times during the season. I mean, you know, I never am in a position publicly where I'll comment on judgment calls. But, you know, just to give an example, I have regular conference calls with the on-air talent in the Big Ten Network, and we talk about rules and just different situations. So I enjoyed it myself, and, you know, don't hesitate to reach out.
Rick Boyages, thanks so much. We'll come back with more on WKOK after this.
When you buy anything, isn't it best to see people who've been around for a long time, satisfying customers just like you all the time? Makes sense, doesn't it? So when you're in the market for a quality new or pre-owned vehicle, the only place to go is Sunbury Motors. They've been in business since 1915, partnering up folks just like you with a vehicle that best suits their needs and budget. Their service after the sale can't be beat. And if you like selection, there's none better than Sunbury Motors. Fords, Kias, Lincolns, Mercurys, Hyundais, Sunbury Motors sells them all. Their finance teams are unmatched. They'll be glad to help you secure the affordable option you want on any new or pre-owned vehicle you find on their lots. See the people who've been in business since 1915. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln Mercury, and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com.
Hi, I'm Rick Weibel from REW Financial. I strive to take an eagle-eye approach to your financial future to help give you the freedom to make powerful decisions. I work with you to help you find the discipline you need to get the results you want. I don't believe in just setting it up and letting things go. I'll always be looking to see how we can make things better. REW Financial is an independent company committed to the highest standards of integrity, ethics, and value throughout your financial journey. See us in Lewisburg and Brook Park Farm. Call 800-609-9484 or visit us online at rewfinancial.com.
Welcome back. Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, located at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Today's show being brought to you by our great friends at REW Financial Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Rick Weibel and the gang doing a great job. Rick, give him a call at 800-609-9484. I can tell you right now, I'd let him handle my stuff in a heartbeat. It's exactly what you want. You want somebody to right off the bat, you look at him and say, yep, trustworthy. And they will take good care of you. Promise you that. And you go online at rewfinancial.com. I'm going to guess that people found that to be an enlightening period of time on the air. I'm going to guess that. you want, we can talk about LeBron in the NBA playoffs, or we can do stuff like that.
Much.
It's highly of you.
I'm sure.
But, look, there are many issues. What's the biggest complaint anybody has in a game?
No, officiating. At any level.
Exactly. At every level. It's always officiating. We're always getting jobbed, robbed. They're blind. This, that, and the other. There is an intense training program that goes on, and there are big decisions that these guys have to make. They're dealing with independent contractors. So I hope you find that to be in. Three will break up. I sense it's a burning question over there in Milton.
Now, the burning question is, will the Phillies ever find their offense and pitching?
No, Kevin, that's long gone now.
Okay,
the pitching part, the starting pitching is fine. The closer is fine. Their bridge guys are the mediocrity. Okay? As simple as that. Offense, which has been a dominant right side of the infield for years now, and lose them. You have your ace, your biggest home run threat, and a critical cog all not playing right now.
I think I'm going to go buy a Yankees hat.
Hey, they're not playing much better. Traitor. Sarah Bartlett, ever loyal to the Orioles through thick and thin, she gets it, is next with the news.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right. Social media gone amok.
This is funny.
We're at the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio in Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. And our phone line powered by Let It Be Solar. Visit them online at letitbesolar.com. And today, the Thursday edition of the show. Brought to you by our good friends, Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484. We'll get to the Phillies debacle in a moment. 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565. I'll have another, has an account on Twitter. Yes, the horse. Has an account on Twitter. Unbelievable. Kevin, who wants me to tweet things in the booth such as team warming up. Who cares?
If I'll have another can do it, so can you.
I don't think so. So, who's doing the tweets? Doug O'Neill, the trainer, by the way, facing suspension, says the horse is. He's having a hard time with the hoofs, with the keys. The Twitter address is at I'll have another.
They tried to use a smartphone, but that didn't work out as well either for the phone.
Yeah, I don't think so. The profile. I am the Kentucky Derby and Preakness 2012 winning three-year-old chestnut colt living the dream on the Triple Crown Trail. Next stop, Belmont in history. That's the profile. Sample tweets. Gotta go. Optimizer and Painter, fellow Belmont Stakes runner in the same security barn, threatening a pillow fight if I don't shut the hoof pad down now. Night, night. Next tweet.
The hoof pad.
The owner of a firm, last Triple Crown winner 1978, says she likes my chances as the successor to him, says there are many similarities. Thank you for the compliments. You want me to go and do things like that?
No, no, even that's silly. Even I think that's silly.
Team warming up.
Ask Dennis in Bloomsburg what he thinks.
Well, I don't know. Dennis agrees with me. Dennis always agrees with me. Hi, Dennis. Welcome
Dennis
to the show.
Dennis always agrees with Steve Jones. Let that be known.
and Dennis is powered by Lenape Solar. Go ahead, Dennis.
You betcha. Good afternoon there, Steve and Kevin. Just wanted to give a big shout-out for the Montgomery Red Raiders. They defeated Camp Hill today 10-0 down in Pine Grove. they're two games away from the state championships for the Class A ball team.
Oh, and you know where that is going to be.
That's going to be right there at the Happy Valley's Medler Field.
And one of the most more beautiful ballparks you're ever going to see. Keep going, Dennis. Keep going.
Oh, you betcha. Hey, I want somebody, a major college coaches, to take a look at this Montgomery baseball team. They've got some talent on that team, and they're young.
What do you like about them? Give us an idea. Where what are they, you know, give us an idea about the pitching, give us an idea about field, and give us an idea of what they do at the plate.
Well, I think they've got everything covered. Defense, offense, they've got hitters. Cam McHenry is a junior, and his bat is just hot this year. He's probably, I don't know if it's true, but if you check their stats, he might be leading in RBIs. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is the pitching is just unbelievable. Worthington pitched extra innings on Monday night up at Bloom U against Pius X, and he pitched over 130 pitches and really never lost his control. That kid's something else.
What is the next step?
Well, I think the next step, they've got to get by either a team from Lancaster, and then there's another one I've never heard of. It's just initials. I don't know where they're from. That will be their next game, and
why
I believe
do I
that
sense
is
I sense it's a charter school.
Yeah, it's Girard Academy Music Program or Lancaster County Christian.
Right, there you go.
You can beat the Music Academy, man. Come on.
I don't know where that's going to be held, but
right.
If they get by that one, man, look for these guys to go all the way.
Well, we're excited, Dennis. You're getting me excited about it. I think it's tremendous. What a great accomplishment. A great accomplishment. Exciting times.
This is their first District 4 championship in school history. So if they go all the way, man, is that town going to be going wild.
Yeah, I bet it will be. I bet they're excited right now.
Yeah, they had a tough game. They had a tough game earlier this week. It was earlier this week against Pius X.
Right, Monday night up at Bloom U. I saw that game. That was wild.
Well, this is great news. We're thrilled, okay. Dennis.
Yep.
Keep us up to date on what's going on because we're as excited as you are.
You bet. Keep an eye on those guys. They are something else.
We will. We will.
Have a great day. We'll see you out in Happy Valley.
Can't wait to see you, Dennis. Our number, 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565. That's great news.
Well, you know, this single-A bracket in baseball has been pretty tight all the way through. I mean, the largest deficit has been a two-run ball game, and that was the Camp Hill win a couple of days ago as well. That was a 4-2 win. Mm-hmm. Everything else has been one-run games up until this point.
The Patriots, by the way, have decided that they're not bringing back Chad Ochocinco.
Gone.
I mean, in other words, somebody finally figured it out. Fraud. All right. You notice the guys that always scream, give me the ball, give me the ball, really aren't that good? Okay.
Well, there's an opening in the Indoor Football League.
Yeah, there is now that T.O.'s gone. Dodgers won today over the Phillies 8-3. We'll dissect that in a moment.
Yay.
The Mets won over the Nationals 3-1. Giants lead the Padres 4-3, end to 3. Wild one to Petco today. And Milwaukee in the top of the eighth inning, leading the Cubs 2-1. In the American League, Oakland leads Texas 2-1, bottom of the fourth. The Tigers won today, beat Cleveland 7-5. At Comerica. Everything else under the lights tonight, including the Pirates at Cincinnati and the Yankees are in action with Tampa Bay tonight, and the Orioles are at the Red Sox.
I'm a free agent fan right now. Just want you to know that.
What if nobody wants you? Our number is 1-800-795-9565. You're going to claim collusion?
It's a whole other problem right there.
I'm just telling you, they may not want you. Your reputation for being Captain Sourpuss.
Four errors? How do you follow a team with four errors and be happy about it?
Game two of the 2004 World Series I went to. And the team I was rooting for committed four errors and won 6-2.
Yeah, but at least that was the World Series.
At that point, you figured they'd have it down, wouldn't you?
That's a good point. At least they were in the World Series, all right? Right now, the way the Phillies are playing, they'll be happy if they even show up in the playoffs.
They have some issues. Look, this is what they thought they had going in, okay? They thought they were going to have Utley from day one, right?
Sure.
But they did not. There's no way they thought they had Ryan Howard. You can't have that injury. I thought to myself, there's no way. I thought he'd be out the entire season, let alone have a shot at getting back. You don't expect Halliday to get hurt because Halliday never gets hurt. The way the Phillies were set up was that they were going to have just enough offense, buy some time, finally get Howard back, have Halliday go 8 innings, Lee go 7, Hamels go 7, get one guy to bridge the 8th inning, and then bring Papelbon in to pitch the 9th. That's the way they were set up. They aren't set up like that. You look today, once again, there's, Hamels, not a bad performance, 6 innings, 6 hits, 4 runs, 3 earned, okay, believe it or not, that 3 runs earned over 6 innings is technically a quality start. Not bad. But and Adam Harang, Aaron Harang, same thing. 6 innings, gave up 3 runs, all earned, gave up 8 hits, struck out 3. But Jamie Wright, whom I thought retired years ago, gets another hold. And then, of course, Belisario closes out in the 9th inning. Meanwhile, Jack Qualls comes in and... I mean, that fireman's carnival, he should be arrested for what he does. Most times when you see teams have success, certain guys have career years. Usually it's a position player that has a career year, and I'll tell you the other group that does. Usually you have a couple guys in your bridge between your starter and your closer that have career years. The Phillies have nobody right now having a career year at the plate. That is out of the norm. The numbers are the numbers. I'm telling you, the numbers are the numbers.
I would debate that. I think there's one guy, and that's Carlos Ruiz.
No, Ruiz is always good. I disagree with that.
I just think he's better this year than he's been in past years,
though. Right, but he's to me, he's a legitimate player in this league. This is not a guy who's kind of had a journeyman career and all of a sudden has a career year for you. Carlos Ruiz has been a great contributor as a catcher. A great contributor is a leader, and in the clutch has always been top flight in the clutch.
That's true.
Always. I mean, that's been his MO. Now he's more consistent when you don't need the big hit. He's now getting hits on top of getting big hits. He's just a heck of a player. Anybody would be aching to have that guy behind the plate for you. As you can tell, I'm a big Carlos Ruiz guy. This is not the team that they put together. And they don't have the depth in the organization to overcome it. They just recalled Michael Martinez today, and he's coming off the DL.
But let me ask you this. Is the reason they don't have the depth, is that because they gave away a lot of the depth for the now, playing
sure
it the last
did.
Couple of years?
Absolutely.
And who do you blame for that? I mean, is that bad general management?
No, because the now got them to the playoffs. The now got them to a World Series. The now got you Roy Halladay.
Yeah, but the now got you one World Series back in 08 and has struggled to not only make the playoffs, but win playoff games.
Kevin, how many World Series have they ever won?
I know that. And that's okay. Why I want more.
Would you trade 2008 for any of those?
I didn't say that.
Would you trade the no-hitter Roy Halladay pitched because you think that Darnold maybe help you a catcher right now?
I didn't say that. I'm just saying I think they gave away the farm the last couple of years, and it's now killing them.
How would you feel if you didn't have Hunter Pence?
If we're winning and we have young players coming up that have a chance, I'd make that trade. I'd make that trade off. I mean, Hunter Pence, I love having Hunter Pence, but the question is he worth what the Phillies gave up, and is that why the Phillies are struggling now?
I'm a lifelong Red Sox fan. 86 years, they didn't win the championship. They got close in the 86 years. For me, first really was a fan when I'd say about 5 years of age. So even, you know, so let's just, so you're talking for 41 years I was a fan of that team. Hadn't won. They signed Manny Ramirez to a mega deal. They gave away a lot of prospects to get Curt Schilling. Schilling was not a free agent. Schilling was a trade for four prospects. Okay. Pedro Martinez was a trade. Derek Lowe was a trade along with Jason Veritek. I don't care what they gave up or how much money they spent. They erased 40-plus years of frustration for me as a baseball fan. And I don't care what they did in 2005 or 6. And then it turned out they came back in 7 and won again. Changed up the team. You know, they traded Hanley Ramirez and Anibal Sanchez to get Josh Beckett. Okay? Do you think today I'd like to have Hanley Ramirez and Anibal Sanchez on my team?
I don't know. You tell me.
No.
No.
You want to know why? Because in 2007, Josh Beckett won 20 games, won a divisional series game, won the opening game of the ALCS, and when they were down 3-1, pitched a brilliant game and beat Cleveland in Game 5 and turned the whole postseason around and then gave up one run in Game 1 of the World Series. That was worth every at-bat Hanley Ramirez has had, and it's worth every inning that Anibal Sanchez has pitched. You can play for the future all you want. The more you play for the future, the fewer championships you have. Because guess what? You never get there. You have to play for the now. When you are in a position to play for the now, you have to go for it. You need to acquire a Roy Halladay. You need to acquire a Hunter Pence. Because at those moments, you are playing for the bundle. It's the Pirates that play for the future. But today you're frustrated. You don't like what you're seeing. I understand, but you won the World Series in 2008, and the idea was to get these other guys to try and duplicate that. Did it work out? No, but I'm telling you, it was still worth it to give it a shot.
But the question I ask is, did you pay over premium to do it?
You don't know. These are prospects. You don't know. You don't know. When you acquire Larry Anderson for Jeff Bagwell, do you know? When you acquire, what was his name? Doyle Alexander, who goes 13-1 for you in 1987 with the Detroit Tigers. They got him from the Braves. The Tigers won the division. He was the reason why. He was the swing guy that won them the division. Got them to the playoffs. They didn't win. They were beaten by, I think, the Twins. Guess who they gave up for Doyle Alexander?
Oh, I have no idea.
13-1 record. Okay, 13-1. They gave up a low prospect by the name of John Smoltz. You don't know. You roll the dice. If it's the right fit, Hunter Pence was the right fit. Roy Halladay was the right fit. And yes, you gave up prospects for it. Guess what? We don't know what those guys are going to do, but I know what these guys can do. Sure, Halladay got hurt, but probably Halladay's given some good years. Hunter Pence has been a good player for them.
What is it that the Yankees do differently then to stay on top as they do?
They've only won one World Series since 2001.
No, but they're always competitive.
The Phillies have been competitive every year for the last 5 years.
Let's go, but long term.
And they have as many World Series wins as the Yankees do.
In the last five.
Well, but since 2001, the Cardinals have two, the Red Sox have two, the Phillies have one, the Angels have one, the Marlins have one, the Phillies have one. No, it's been spread out all over the place.
No, my point
Giants
is...
Giants have one.
But my point was, what do the Yankees do differently to stay competitive almost every single year? Because right now, the Phillies are not at that stage. They are not competitive right now.
First of all, they were able... The Phillies have been. They've been in the playoffs every year.
I know. I said they're not competitive now. In this season, not
well,
in the
Yankees,
last season, the season
well, how
before.
Good are the Yankees right now?
31-24.
Seven games over 500. What, you ready to give them a parade?
Half game out's a lot closer than six.
First of all, the Yankees are aging before our eyes.
They do that all the time, though, but they still seem to find a way.
The Yankees have won world championship in the last 11 years. So do the Phillies. The Red Sox have two. The Cardinals have two. I've gone through the whole thing here. Giants have one. You have to hit it right for one thing, as you well know. It's hard to win. Maybe Buzz has an answer for us at 1-800-795-9565 in the Lenape Solar Hotline at lenapesolar.com. Hi, Buzz.
Hey, guys. I think I have an answer for Kevin why the Yankees are always competitive. I think, although you can't put your finger on it, I think the legend of the Yankees is so huge that the pressure on individual players on that team typically makes them perform above where they might be with a lesser team. I think being a Yankee makes you better because of the history.
Well, I
agree or disagree.
Buzz, I think that here's part of it, okay? They've done a very good job of developing some key players within their own system. Jorge Posada, Derek Jeter, okay, Robinson Cano, Mariano Rivera. Those are all guys from within their system that are the core group of what they have. They then spent big money, picked up Rodriguez. They spent huge money on Mark Teixeira. Right? They've been far more active in that vein. You know, remember, what are your power positions? First, third, left, right. Well, there's first and third right there.
I always remember they always had heroes, you know, Mickey Mantle and all those guys. And, you know, my whole life the Yankees have been, I don't know if they've won every year, but, you know, my thought is that the pressure to be on that team makes you better. And also I think George was one of the first guys to not be afraid to cough up the big bucks to get the people that he wanted.
Right, and he coughed up a lot of money to do it along the way, and he spent it for the most part wisely. And you notice he spent it, for example, on getting a Goose Gossage. He spent his money on getting a John Wetland.
Yeah.
You know, he spent it on power, and he also spent it on a premier starting pitcher, and he spent it on a reliever.
Kevin, what do you think of that?
I don't know. I think I'm just frustrated with a six-game losing streak. I don't know.
One run, my God. It almost makes you mad you stay up late enough to watch it, you know? Why didn't I go to bed? You know?
I'm just glad this one wasn't one I had to watch.
Oh, boy. Well, is it too early to say wait till next year? Or?
I don't know. I said to Steve a few minutes ago. I said, how soon does training camp start for football?
Yeah, there you go. Thanks, guys. Keep it up.
Thanks, Buzz.
Bye-bye.
July 30th.
Best birthday present I'll have all for a long time, I can tell you that.
Well, you have no idea what I'm getting you. All right. Sarah Bartlett and I kicked in money together on your gift.
Great.
Oh, yeah. No, it's fabulous.
I'm sure.
I guess we have news coming up. I think we have to get commercials in.
Yeah, let's do that right now.
Rick Weibel, REW Financial Insurance and Financial Services, LLC, 800-609-9484. Visit online, rewfinancial.com. Welcome back to the show. Is Kevin going over to the Susquehanna and going to stare at it tonight aimlessly?
Well, at least I don't have a game to watch tonight. That's the good news.
Well, they already lost this afternoon. You're good.
Right.
Boston Mayor Tommy Menino referred to Kevin Garnett as KG today and then referred to Rajon Rondo as Hondo, as in John Havlicek. Politics and sports. They don't mix.
No.
Ever.
Maybe I have an old Pirates hat I could dig out that still has the piping around it. Kent Tekulve style.
Wonderful. I know Kent. He's a good guy. You'd like him a lot. That bugs you, doesn't it?
Not today.
That bugs you.
Eight runs. That's what bugs me.
It should.